Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. If you were to look at a group picture of the board of the Northumberland Hills Hospital, some things would stand out. First, you would notice that there were more women than men. You might also notice that there's not a lot of diversity beyond that. If you dig a bit deeper, you might also find that there's not a lot of inclusiveness when it comes to race, economic class, and age. Well, the two members of the hospital board, the chair Pam Wente and nominations committee member Cindy Gilmer, will tell you what they're trying to do to change that. As you will hear, the board is looking to recruit new members in the hopes of getting a broader representation from the community. Here is that interview. I'm so pleased to have with me today Pam Wente, chair of the board of directors for the Northumberland Hills Hospital, and Cindy Gilmer, the chair of the nomination committee of the board. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's my understanding that you're looking for board members. Can you tell me about this initiative? Maybe we'll start with you, Pam.
Thanks, Rob. Yes, we are. Coincidentally, of course, this is National Volunteer Week. And we deliberately planned some of our media for this week. So I really appreciate having this opportunity to talk on your show. So you said we are recruiting board members. I want to explain the process that we use because this is the message we're trying to get through to our community and friends and neighbors. So we actually have a sort of a two-stage process towards bringing people onto the board. Although we may recruit directly onto the board, as we did with Cindy, because of her experience as a director and in-house services, but the majority of people that join us start as what we call community members. And community members sit on our board committees where they have a full vote. And normally a community member will, they don't have to take up a board seat, but when a board seat is opened, then we go to those community members first. So if you're a baseball fan like I am, it's like having bench strength. And the advantages to this system, and I say what we're recruiting for now, are these community members. The advantages are that the community member has an opportunity to learn about the health services industry, to observe the board in operation, and therefore prepare and get up a learning curve that can be quite steep. So that when they do take a seat at the board, if that's their desire and they are the successful candidate, that they're ready. It also gives the rest of the board and the nominations committee in particular an opportunity to see the community member and prospective board member in action at those committees. And because we do want to make sure that the people that join our board share our values. So it's the benefits go both ways, and we've found it's been a very successful way bringing people onto the board who are ready from day one to perform their duties. Cindy, I don't know whether you want to add to that.
No, I think it's a great thing. I think the thing that people say to us is that all of the acronyms and the complexity of healthcare and the complexity of budgeting and the complexity of the government oversight of healthcare is a little daunting to begin with. And so that 2 years gives people an opportunity to really settle in and feel as though they know what all the acronyms are, they know what the governance needs to be, and so that when they step up to the board that they feel confident. And we hear that from virtually everyone.
And those committees then come up with recommendations, which then float up to the main board of directors. And then the board of directors then takes those and chooses what it's going to do with those recommendations. Am I understanding that correctly?
You've got it right on. Yes. Yeah, so the board will make the ultimate decision.
Cindy, how many people are you recruiting during this current round?
To the board?
I'm sorry, for the community members. It's my
understanding.
For community members.
Three, I believe.
At least three.
Three. As Pam says, we can have up to five members, but at this point we're looking for three.
So I'll come back to you then, Cindy. What are you looking for in terms of volunteers? What sort of skills, what sort of qualities are you looking for these individuals?
So we're really looking for people with lived experience that have an interest in supporting healthcare in our area. We're always open for folks that have some board experience because, you know, governance is a bit of a different beast, if you will. So folks that may have served on another board. But I think what we're really trying to do is you know, get different voices at the table, voices from the community, because our community is changing. And, you know, we really want to be able to hear what this community needs as the hospital grows and as it changes to support the needs of the community. You know, it's not the same community, for example, that it was 10 years ago. And we really need people that are keen and prepared to put in the work, because it is work. There, you know, we are involved in these meetings. You have to be prepared to discuss at the committee level and, you know, read up on the information that you're given from staff and have a keen interest in you know, having an excellent hospital in our region. But that lovely, you know, diverse views, diverse lived experience really, really helps to inform our decisions. So you don't get in that sort of narrow pathway where you're all thinking the same.
So what, in terms of a commitment then, what type of a commitment would a person be looking at if they were to come on?
You're probably looking at six hours a month, maybe. Okay. 8 hours.
Six in meetings and then a couple of hours to prepare.
Cindy, are people paid to do this? Do you get a stipend?
No, you don't get a stipend.
And is there any training involved at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have an orientation manual.
Well, if they don't have any, you know, I really would be, I think it would be hard to find anyone in our county that hasn't been in touch by healthcare in some way. It doesn't have to just be hospital healthcare, can be primary care. And of course it's always in the news. So people sometimes don't realize how much they know. But our senior team, the CEO and the vice presidents are all available for questions. They're all very open to that. And, you know, no question is considered to be dumb. So they're there to help us out. And as I mentioned, the materials for meetings are sent out ahead of time and they're detailed enough. They're not too hard to understand, but briefing notes come out, executive summaries, with lots of explanations. We also have, and I've been now associated, I had 2 years as a community member and I'm now in my sixth year as a board member. I have a multi-page document that I carry around with me and it's all the acronyms that are used in healthcare. And I still have to look up some of them. So we have things like that. We also have the Ontario Hospital Association that puts on webinars and with all of our board members and community members are invited to attend those and they're on topics that we need to know more about. And once we have someone joins the board itself, there are some professional seminars as well that the OHA puts on in terms of governance, which is it's governance. Governing at the hospital board level is very similar to governing at any not-for-profit. So again, we have responsibilities to the government, which is unusual in a not-for-profit.
Now, skills are important. And in your December 2021 board meeting, it says in the minutes that you're looking for new members with facilities knowledge, innovation, technology, government relations skills would be an asset. It sounds like you're looking for a very focused set of skills.
These are skills that over time hospitals have determined will assist the board in doing its job. We've been a skills-based board for a long time and have found that has made us a more effective board.
You know, when you look at the makeup of the current board, I'd like to know what efforts have been made in the past to diversify the membership of the board and the committees.
Well, and going back to the report you talked about with the skills matrix, we have in the past looked for folks from, you know, with different expertise. I just wanted to mention that the one that we talked about in the fall from what you were reading to us, at that point, we had a pretty deep pool in each of the areas that we were looking for. So there wasn't anything, one thing that stuck out that we were missing some of that expertise. But what we're also doing is planning for succession planning. So as we were looking forward, thinking about, oh, as people leave, some of those skills are, and that's why it said, you know, that we, certain skills like facilities would be a benefit from somebody coming in. And as far as diversity goes, you know, I think we've spent the last couple of years starting to talk about how to remove barriers for folks joining the board. We tend to get in our systems built-in barriers that people can't see, and that you know, put some folks at a disadvantage for joining a board such as ours. So we've gone through all of our board policies, looking at that with an equity, diversity, and inclusivity lens, looking at some of the language that we have there, and then looking at, again for this term, around what is our language in our ads. How are we reaching out to people? Are we, you know, are we just going to the Rotary Club and talking to Rotarians, or are we opening it up to social media for folks that might be younger, and other places where people get their news, if you will, so that we can
we talk a bit more about that? Because I'd like to know what efforts have been made to include, say, the BIPOC community, you know, Black, Indigenous, and people of color. What have you done specifically to recruit people like that?
We haven't specifically set out to recruit people from the BIPOC community, not looking for necessarily, you know, people of color walking down the street. What we've tried to do is to decrease the barriers to people who can see themselves. And our new HR VP has been helping us with some of the language around reducing barriers so that folks could actually see themselves as a board member, you know, rather than going, oh, yeah, I don't look at that completely white board. I don't see myself as a member of that. So we've had a bit of training, education, whatever you wish, from our new HR director about that. That would be the most specific thing I would say, Pam, that we've done in the last little while.
But what about efforts to maybe include members of the Indigenous community on the board? Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems like a really obvious one that would make a lot of sense. And what efforts have been to include those people especially?
Yeah. Oh, and certainly, over the years, even not just recently, we have had members reach out to members of, say, the Alderville community. The challenge has been to find someone that has the time to and the inclination to want to come to the board. We've the same for our
Patient and Family Advisory Council.
Council, specifically reaching out to that community. To see, you know, if someone would be interested. The challenge right now, of course, is that there's all kinds of boards doing the same kind of thing. So we're coming at it from a, let's see if we can reduce the barriers, have people understand specifically what is required. Because if you look at, you want to sit on the board, well, what does that mean? And I can't see myself because I don't know how much time the commitment is or what I would have to be doing or who these people are. So we've tried to do that in our ads to make it more open. We're also having like an open town meeting. Come and talk to the board members and see who's on the board and ask your questions and see if this is something that you might see yourself doing. So small steps in doing this. But yes, we have in the past, we have certainly, and in past boards, we have had the chief of Alderville sit on the board and previous boards. But right now we haven't got anybody currently from all representing Alderville, but certainly have at different times reached out.
Pam, what is the age of the youngest person on the board?
Oh, you would ask that. That's one of the other areas that we are definitely trying to reduce the average age of a board member. Since we don't ask how old people are, I can only guess, but I know we have some that they're in their late 40s. And there's quite a few of us that are definitely senior citizens. But I think, and I think in order to diversify age as well as culture, that is our intention. And what we're, and one of the reasons we're grateful to talk to you today and get our message out there, we've got a PSA as well that 89.7 is going to play for us, is we're trying to pull versus push. So instead of having board members and other interested parties go out into the community and try and push people towards the board, we're hoping that by providing a variety of tools and touch points that it will actually pull people in. So for example, Cindy mentioned the open town house on Zoom call with people from the board and community members available to answer questions. On the website, we have the hospital website, we have an expression of interest form that people can fill out if they're interested in a frequently asked questions portion as well, so they can get their questions answered or ask more questions. So we're hoping that by doing that pull, that people will take advantage of the information that we've put out there, of the contacts that we've made possible, to see themselves. There's definitely a misconception about the board. Many people think that we get paid, which we don't. Many people probably still think it's, and I don't mean to, at all to be derogatory about my male friends, but a bunch of men in shirts and ties sitting around a table, that's not true either. In fact, more than 50% of our board are female. And being able to, we have found it actually quite successful with our patient and family advisory council to approach it this way. And they have actually been able to recruit younger people, because young people, if they are interested, they go to the website, they look for information, they fill in the forms, they send them in. And so we're hoping that that will work and hopefully connect with the younger people. And for those that are not as comfortable doing that, we have other things such as the Zoom meeting, this open house we're talking about. We've also got interviews with your radio station and providing people ways to reach us, not just by the internet, but also, say, by telephone.
But it seems Foundation is quite successful. They've got a youth unit that goes out and fundraises for them. And they've got a picture of all the, looks like about 15 or 20 young people going out raising money for them. How come you guys can't do the same thing at the board level?
Well, and it's not that we can't. And we first have to attract them, but you also, we have this fiduciary responsibility where we have to make decisions on behalf of the hospital, and a certain amount of life experience or work experience is required to do that well. So it's not that they're not welcome. And I'd love to see some younger people on our committees. We purposely had them, first thing in the morning, like 8 o'clock, so that hopefully we can get people that are before they go to work. And again, just trying to remove some of the barriers as Cindy mentioned, but it's not something, it's certainly something we would like to do. And again, we're hoping that through this approach, we also will be looking at a patient and family advisory council, the people that have gone that way into the organization. Can we attract them to the board? The foundation board just recently went on a program of trying to find new members, and they actually identified some people that applied to the foundation that they think would be better suited to the hospital board. So we're getting those people as well and making touch points with them. So it's not that we don't want to, but we also would not want to have a young person come and then not be able to participate because of the lack of experience. So there has to be that weighing of experience. And certainly as a committee member, at the committee level, they might be a little more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing too, though, is, economic classes of people, how do we get those people who are maybe not as well off, but also, I mean, they use the system, they know the system. I'm sure they have needs and ideas and thoughts about how the system could be improved. What about engaging those people? Maybe Cindy, would you like to speak to that?
Well, and I think the key is that we don't judge on, level of income or that sort of thing at all coming onto the board. And that's why we've really put our focus on removing barriers. Like, what are the barriers of keeping, folks from joining the board? we've started to, well, for the last 2 years, we've had to use Zoom as a platform, but we've been talking about, you know, how can we make it so that people can come? If you're that single mom who has two kids and, you know, lives in even a rural area and doesn't have access, how do we remove the barrier so that that person could come? Rather than going out and saying, okay, let's see if we can find a single mom with two kids, or let's see if we can find somebody from the BIPOC community. We really are wanting to remove those barriers. And we've got a commitment really to look at what kinds of things do we need to do? Like, you don't want to have a meeting in the middle of the day if someone is, you know, on or below the poverty line and having to work their shift. And you can't, I mean, I'm still working. I know how hard it is sometimes to juggle things like that. So looking at, as Pam says, you know, early in the morning before maybe before work, that kind of thing, so that you can get folks that can be available and have removed that barrier of the time of day impacting on the work day. You know, we have that sort of commitment in mind to help people be able to be there, to, you know, if they have that interest. And well, that's part of the interview process too, is finding out what the interest is and maybe what the barriers are and what would be needed. You know, it's kind of a two-way street. It's the same with young people. You know, board work is a little bit, and I mean, I've done board work for a long time, not just on this board, but it's a little dry. It's not the, you know, rah-rah, let's raise money for the foundation. And that's an excellent thing to do. And I know that there's all kinds of very caring young people. There may be that person out there who is young and who's really keen to learn how to do board work. And we want to make sure that the barrier is not there for them to be able to join then if they're interested in doing that. As they say, it's not for everyone. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of reading and life experience certainly does help. But that's not going to keep, you know, we're not going to push people away necessarily because they don't have specific governance board experience, if you will.
Cindy, if I want to apply, how do I do that? And what's my deadline?
Well, we've opened that up. So probably the easiest is to go to the Northumberland Hills Hospital website and click on the link to the board. You will see some frequently asked questions. You'll see a little bit of information about the board and a form for, and it's EOI, which is
expression of interest
form that you can just fill out and send in.
If I don't have access to the web, how do I do it?
If you don't have access to the website, then you can certainly send you can phone the hospital and speak to Susan's admin assistant, ask for administration, say, I have an interest, but I don't have access. They will facilitate getting the information and getting the information to us.
Pam Wendt, Cindy Gilmer, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Rob.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
That was Pam Wente, chair of the board of the Northumberland Hills Hospital, and Cindy Gilmer, a member of the nominations committee. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.